From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of May 2020. It's USDA Report Day. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about this morning's WASDE or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate and its impact on trade in Chicago with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. A bit later in the program, Don Day will be here to discuss the weather forecast, and we'll take up the weekly crop progress reports from the state statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota. And as we close out our time together, we'll hear from Carl Zuloff at The Ohio State University. He's a Ag Economist Emeritus, and Gary Schnitke from the University of Illinois. The two of them, along with a couple of others, have taken a look at the impact of COVID-19 on corn and soybeans across the nation. It's a very interesting article on the FarmDoc Daily website that tries to calculate the damage that may have been done, and that can't be fully completed at this point, but it'll give you a good projection of what it looks like, and you want to stick with us all the way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report to get a listen to that one. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago today, corn futures finished higher. The nearby May contract up 5 1/4, 3.23 3/4. The July at 3.22 1/4, 3 3/4 higher. In December, 3.35 3/4, up a penny for the day. Soybeans finished the May contract down 3 at 8.49 1/4. July at 8.52, 3 lower. And November beans down 1.5 at 8.57. Bean oil was up 21 cents. The bean meal, $2.30 higher. July soft red winter wheat down 2 3/4 at 5.14 1/2, and the hard red at 4.69 1/4, 5 3/4 cents lower. Live cattle futures for 100 pounds up $4.50. That's an expanded limit in that June contract at $91.17 1/2. Feeder cattle up 3.65 at $127.30, and lean hogs for the day at $68.25. Up $1.70 on the afternoon. The crude oil around $25.93 a barrel, $1.79 higher. Ethanol futures just about unchanged at around $1.10 6/10 cents. And heating oil or diesel fuel 2 3/10 lower at $0.84 1/2. Gasoline at $0.91 8/10 cents, around 0.5 cents lower. And natural gas for the day, up or rather down 8 cents at $1.73 6/10. The Dow Jones Industrial Average about 134 points lower. The dollar up or rather down 0.315. And the gold futures for the day at $1,706.90, up $11.60. USDA's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate for the month of May was released this morning. It contained the first projections for the 2021 crop year. That would be the crop that's going in the ground for corn, soybeans, and wheat at this point. Here is a summary of each of those. The carry-in for corn, now at 2.098 billion bushels. That's left from what was harvested last year, with a yield going into this year at 178.5 on those 97 million acres at USDA. Both of those projections stayed the same from March. Total production of 15.995 billion bushels, carry out at 3.318 billion for corn. Average cash price for the marketing year for the crop that's going in the ground, just $3.20. The average cash price for soybeans at $8.20. Carry out by the time we get to the fall of 2021 at 405 million bushels. However, the carry in changed for soybeans at 580 million bushels. Yield and production the same as they used in the month of March. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. How did the market react when these numbers were released at 11 o'clock Central Time today, Wayne?
Well, you know, just a little bit different than we thought they might. We saw corn stabilizing. We saw wheat continue to be a little under pressure. And we saw the beans sort of drop back at the end of the day. But we did hear that a lot of the professional traders had been buying beans and selling corn, buying beans and selling wheat. We're doing a lot of unwinding on their spreads here today. You know, as we looked at things, we were a little bit surprised as we looked that the did not pick on the farmer as much this time in this report as what was maybe considered they might be. You know, in the way that they restored the ethanol, corn for ethanol for next year, with the feed usage for next year and everything, basically sort of taking out of the coronavirus attitude that we're going to get back on track and get things going. And then, but boy, a 16 billion bushel crop, that's the largest we've seen since back in 87, 88. And that is something big to chew through. And they took the average price down to 320. And they're saying if we hold at these numbers, that that's an awful optimistic number even to talk about for that. So, you know, they increased the exports for next year, 50 million. They bumped the feed usage, 25 million. So, you know, it wasn't so bad. With that big number, we're still looking at a lot of things that could go our way if we can get back on track in the world.
What about the soybean results as you look at that supply and demand table?
You know, as you look there, they kept the crush quite. They increased the crush for next year. They increased the amount for seed. They kicked the exports up quite a bit. The carryout knocked a clear down to 405. The stocks-to-use ratio, 9.4 compared to 14.9 for this year. So, you know, there's some positive thoughts about the beans. You know, will the next few reports, will we see things like, you know, a few more acres of beans coming out of the corn number there that could help that? Will we see, I think the biggest thing we have to look and continue to see is Chinese participation in this bean market. We have got to pick up those exports that they added to there and keep going. I mean, it's just a very, very, very big thing. And the last thing we need is another little trade spat. You know, the news wires were filled with a lot of the Chinese upper echelon people saying that they'd like to renegotiate the phase one trade deal. And, of course, we don't want to do that right now for sure.
The other headline to discuss was the purchase of several cargoes of soybeans by the Chinese from the United States.
Yeah, I think it's just sort of funny as they say, well, we want to renegotiate, and then we get an announcement of sales. And I do think we're going to see things progress along here. And there's a lot of strange things that happen between how the Chinese feel and take things and how they negotiate. What would make you or I mad is something that they consider that people are... They do that. So, I mean, I don't understand how the Chinese deal, but it seems like it's going along fairly good for right now that they are continuing to make purchases daily.
Yeah, having China buy soybeans from the United States at this time of the year, especially for delivery during this marketing year, is unusual. Usually those come from South America.
Yeah, and one of the things that was sort of that a lot of people might have missed was one of the articles that Brazil wasn't buying as many Chinese goods as they had in the past compared to what they were shipping them in grain. And because of that, a lot of the boats with containers aren't returning to refill with beans to send back. And they're going to be short of some freight so they'll slip off a little bit and they'll pick up to come back from the U.S. to maybe buy those beans. So, and it said that it was the crushers rather than just Sinograin that looked to be the buyers of these last few purchases, which is good because they're not being stuck back in reserves, but they're actually being crushed and used.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 67% of the corn around the nation has been sown now. The five-year average is 56%. We'll check in on a couple of states that we won't hear from on this particular day, including Nebraska, which is the number three corn-producing state in the nation. It's 79% along. That's normally 60% over the five-year average. The corn emerged across the nation is 24% now. The average is 22%. Soybeans planted at 38% around the nation. Normally it's 23%. And emergence for soybeans is at 7%. The rolling five-year average for soybeans on emergence is now considered to be 4%. Winter wheat headed at 44% compared to the five-year average of 50%, and it's said to be in 45% good and 8% excellent condition. Those numbers last week were 48 and 7%. respectively. Now, here are updates from Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota.
This is Melissa Couch, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Regional Field Office with the weekly Iowa Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending May 10, 2020. There were 4.7 days suitable for field work during the week ending May 10, 2020, according to the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Showers early in the week briefly slowed planting progress and below normal temperatures delayed emergence. Topsoil moisture levels rated 4% very short, 15% short, 78% adequate, and 3% surplus. Subsoil moisture levels rated 2% very short, 8% short, 86% adequate, and 4% surplus. Iowa farmers have planted 91% of the expected corn crop, almost a month ahead of last year and 2 weeks ahead of the five-year average. Less than 5% of the crop remains to be planted in northwest and north central Iowa. One-third of the expected corn crop has emerged. The soybean crop moved to 71% planted, a full month ahead of last year and over 2 weeks ahead of the average. Northwest and north central Iowa also led the way in soybean planting with less than 20% remaining to be planted. Only 2% of the Iowa expected oat crop remains to be planted, with 77% of the oat crop emerged. The first oat condition rating of the season was 0% very poor, 2% poor, 19% fair, 67% good, and 12% excellent. The first hay condition rating of the season was 0% very poor, 3% poor, 26% fair, 61% good, and 10% excellent. Pasture condition rated 60% good to excellent. Cooler than normal temperatures slowed growth in pastures and hay fields. Livestock conditions were good with little to no stress reported. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. I am reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, May 10. Last week was cold and fairly dry around the prairie state. There was an average of just 2.8 days suitable for field work, and farmers made some progress planting corn and soybeans as well as doing other field work. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 1% very short, 3 short, 74 adequate, and 22% surplus. Subsoil moisture was 1% very short, 3 short, 79 adequate, and 17% surplus. The average rainfall for the state of Illinois last week was 3/4 inch, and that was nearly 1/4 inch below normal. Southern areas were wetter than the rest of the state. Temperatures averaged 50 degrees and ranged from 8 to 11 degrees below normal for this time of year. Corn planting is now 68% finished. That compares to 11% 1 year ago and 66% for the five-year average. 23% of corn acres have emerged compared to 35% normally. Soybean planting advanced to 43% complete, well ahead of last year's 3%, and also the five-year average of 25%. 10% of soybean acres have emerged compared to 6% normally. The winter wheat crop is now 41% headed. That compares to 28% 1 year ago and 50% normally. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 4% very poor, 6% poor, 25% fair, 50% good, and 15% excellent. That is a little worse than last week, but considerably better than 1 year ago. Pasture conditions were rated 3% very poor to poor, 24% fair, and 73% good to excellent. That is better than last week and also better than 1 year ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending May 10, 2020. Minnesota farmers were able to take advantage of the 4.8 days suitable for field work despite the cool weather during the week. Field activities included crop planting and herbicide application. Topsoil moisture supply is rated 1% very short, 10% short, 80% adequate, and 9% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply is rated 0% very short, 6% short, 79% adequate, and 15% surplus. Minnesota's statewide corn planting progress was 89% complete, remaining nearly a month ahead of last year and 2 weeks ahead of the five-year average. Corn emergence reached 32%, which is 19 days ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of average. Soybean planting progress was 57% completed. That's 25 days ahead of last year and 9 days ahead of average. Soybean emergence reached 5%, which is 17 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of average. Spring wheat planting was 40% complete. That's 3 days ahead of last year, but 9 days behind average. The cool weather slowed emergence to 11%, which was also slightly ahead of last year, but well behind the average. Both oat planting and emergence progress remained at least 2 weeks ahead of last year at 78% and 50% respectively. The first oat condition rating of the season was 0% very poor, 0% poor, 43% fair, 49% good, and 8% excellent. Barley was 37% planted, with 21% emerged. Sunflower planting began 8 days behind average and reached 6% planted. Potato planting progress remained ahead of average at 66% complete, and sugar beets were 53% planted. That's behind the average pace by 9 days. Dryable beans were 15% planted. The cool conditions delayed pasture growth and slightly reduced conditions. Pasture conditions were rated 2% very poor, 11% poor, 22% fair, 56% good, and 9% excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians in Minnesota, Iowa, and Illinois for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. On this Tuesday, let's check the weather forecast with Don Day. He's a day weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks for being with us. Looks like we're going to get some warmer weather coming up. Why don't you tell me about it?
Yes, this big mass of very cold air that's been over the central and eastern part of the United States for several days is going to finally lose its grip. Now, it's not going to happen all at once, but we do see a pattern changing, where this cold air mass will slide off to the east and some warmer air week and into the weekend. Where we really see it warming up is next week. We're going to see an area of low pressure form along the west coast, which in turn takes the jet stream from the desert states and pushes it into the nation's midsection. So we will see a return finally of some warmer weather.
Does it come with rainfall?
It will. There's going to be a couple of frontal systems that will be coming in along with this, first of all, with this Pacific flow. And that's going to lead to some shower and thunderstorm activity. Coverage across the Corn Belt and the Midwest looks pretty extensive, with most areas from the northern and western Corn Belt, the central and eastern Corn Belt, through the Great Lakes, and all the way down into some parts of the southern plains getting into the action. It doesn't look like anyone's going to see excessive rain, but there will be some rain coming with the warmer weather.
When you look further out, maybe into the last part of May, what do you see?
What I do see is finally an early summer pattern getting established. I think we're going to still be looking at some wet areas, some concern about wetness picking up in the western and northwest areas of the Corn Belt where they have been able to dry out some, but I do see a warmer pattern that's going to be more consistent. We don't see another shot of cold air like we just have gone through.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Thanks, Todd.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Quick reminder to visit our website at willag.org. There you can find an update on today's WASDE or World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimates and this morning's Farm Doc Daily Live webinar on the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program. This one will be good for both those who are private business owners and uses Schedule C, and for farmers who use Schedule C's and Schedule F, that's the farm tax form, and others as well, to figure out just exactly how that PPP money that you may have already applied for or that you're thinking about applying for can be used as a loan, and what the forgiveness clauses look like and what will need to be paid back. So you want to check that out. It's on our website at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G. .org. Look for the Farm Doc Daily Live webinar series. Well, it sure looks like COVID-19 is going to do some serious damage to the nation's corn and soybean farmers. A new study from the University of Illinois estimates the damage at about $8 billion. This was the case, at least as you'll hear, on May the 5th. Now, that $8 billion is a decline of 9% across the nation, and Illinois Extension Ag Economist Gary Schnitke says it does not include losses that have already piled up for corn and soybeans, still in the bin from last year.
If you're looking at the 2019 crop, there's obviously a loss on the 2019 crop from the sales value here. We were looking forward at the 2020 crop and getting an initial feel for what losses would look like on the 2020 crop.
That loss, Gary Schnitke is talking about, is the difference between what farmers were expecting to make pre-COVID-19 and what they're likely to make post-COVID-19 on the 2020 corn and soybean harvest.
So we took the futures prices on that date to reflect what harvest prices would look like. We then projected forward what the market year average price would look based on that harvest price and came up with estimates of losses given where we've seen those futures prices at today. We kept yields the same, so we said yields will be at trend yield levels, so this is all due to price declines, what's happening to revenue.
The FarmDoc Daily article shows these projected lost revenues by crop, but notes that conceptually that doesn't work in practice because commodity programs make payments on base acres combined, not actual planted acres. Still, it provides an important guidepost. The per-acre revenue difference for corn from February to May is $107 per acre. Again, these are national averages and do not include any government payments. For soybeans, it's $36 per acre. Combined, the total nationwide loss for February to May is about $12 billion for the 2020 corn and soybean growing season. A projected PLC payment for corn covers about a third of that loss, says one of the article's co-authors, Ohio State University ag economist emeritus Carl Zuloff.
The $8 billion estimate in the article is after we've taken out our estimate of the PLC payment. The PLC payment right now is only for corn at the average. We do two estimates, one for low price and one for an average price relationship. But the PLC payment at the average price relationship is covering about one-third of the total cost. So in other words, around $12 billion that if you net it out, then you get to the $8 billion.
The $8 billion loss uses a basis calculation related directly to crop insurance. Stay with me here. It is the market year average cash price minus the crop insurance harvest price. That's 8 under for corn, historically, and 2 under for soybeans. If you use a wider basis under a low-price scenario, say where there is a burdensome ending stocks number, those are 28 under for corn and 43 under for soybeans. In that case, revenue loss is over $10 billion. Now, you may read the article summarizing the impact of COVID-19 on a corn and soybean farm on the FarmDoc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. Our home address is WILLAG.org. You have a good afternoon. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.